Welcome to Yacht Crew Vlogs, where we tell the stories of those in the yachting industry. A behind-the-scenes look that discovers the individuals in the industry, their history, their passions, and what inspires them to do what they do.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Yacht Crew Vlogs right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Rhea. I am your host, and I'm very pleased to welcome my next guest. He is Hunt Etheridge, an award-winning dating and relationship expert out of New York. How are you?
I am very good. Thank you for having me. It's always exciting to chat and talk with you. So
yeah,
thank you for inviting me.
Well, I came across an article that you just put out, actually, and I thought it was quite interesting. How to reconnect again after COVID. Now, I am not the most social person, as a lot of people out there may know, but after reading your article, I did kind of go back and think, I wasn't this antisocial before the pandemic.
Yeah.
And I'm finding it really difficult to go out there and to just be around people, let alone talk to people. This is something that is happening worldwide. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, as you called yourself a little bit of a nerd emoji, I'm a science dork. So I love to read studies because that's sort of the building blocks of how everything is put together. And it was fascinating to me just starting to read some of the data that's trickling out from the last 3 years. Researchers and scientists says it'll take about 10 years for us to figure out what the effects of COVID were, both physically and mentally. So we're just found out lots of interesting new stuff. But basically, yeah, one of the things is that we, myself, I'm an extrovert and ADD, and I'm I don't want to go out. And this was definitely not like me, because as extroverts, you need external energy to kind of fill yourself up. So all of a sudden, when we went into lockdown, we had to find other coping mechanisms to literally survive it mentally and physically. And yeah, now I'm just kind of meh. Now if it's two things in 1 week, I'm oh my God, I got to mentally prepare myself for this. But it's impetus. We need to get the balls rolling again. It's a different landscape. I was just lamenting to my parents last night on the phone that we don't have happy hours anymore because everyone's working from home in different places and hybrids, and no one's centrally located. It used to be all right, let's all meet up in Midtown for a couple of drinks on a Thursday or Friday. One person lives an hour north, one person lives an hour south, hour west, hour east, but y'all worked in the city, so y'all got to see each other. Now that might as well be halfway across the country, because you have to travel 2 hours to go see that person. And yeah, we're all trying to figure out what this new landscape is. We never used to have Zoom calls to catch up with each other, but I think that that's something we sort of need to add back in. You remember at the beginning of the pandemic, we were all having Zoom calls or Zoom happy hours or things like that. And I do think that, not to the detriment of in-person things, but that is a way for us to stay in contact with each other. And I know a lot of us hate this screen and talking on it and stuff like that too, but there's a lot of ways to make it less boring. So and I'm guilty of my social muscles atrophying too. My wife and I showed up at a birthday party with no present. Oh, right. We're supposed to do things. Oh
yeah.
Man. Okay. We got to just, and last March I went to LA to film a TV show and met up with both of my brothers, and we went out night on the town, and it felt like we were freshmen again. We left our cards behind in bars. We didn't know how to catch taxis or anything again. And it just felt odd, because it was something that used to come so naturally to us. And so, yeah, we're getting on to a new political atmosphere, a new social atmosphere. And there's a lot of effects of that. So trying to figure out how to not necessarily reverse things, because we can't go back to the great before, but we can start moving forward again.
That interaction to meet new people has just kind of disappeared as well, because if you're not even getting together with your old friends in group settings or meeting up for lunch or whatever, there's no way you're going to meet new people either. It just seems to have shrunk our world.
Absolutely. Incredibly. It is the social dynamic of the last 20 years is that we're more connected and less connected. And if we want to be more connected online, we have to do more things than just and comment and subscribe. We have to force ourselves to have more interaction. Like, for instance, when I would teach people how to do like Zoom dating, like people would just sit in the same place that they would have their Zoom work meetings, and just a blank white wall behind them, and their heads just down here, and they're just talking like, hey, like, yeah, it's not going to go anywhere because there's no chemistry there. So because we're used to looking around and taking cues from our environments or commenting on things that we see or letting the world help direct us to where we go. And now, to use a nautical metaphor, now we're in charge of our own sails. Now we have to chart our own course. And most of us don't know how to do that or find it scary or have worst case scenarios in their heads. Everyone's going to think I'm an idiot. No one's going to want to talk to me. They're going to think I'm a loser. So it is... Yeah, it's something that, and now we're kind of going back into hibernation again for another couple of months. So it's not like it's going to get better yet, but hopefully we're getting somewhere. It is going to be different. I think we're going, like I said, I think it's going to be a new paradigm moving forward, because we will be more responsible for our own emotional regulations and happiness than other people's. And that is a burden.
Has this affected men more so than women?
And speaking of studies, I got one right here. This is called Helping Men's Mental Health, Help Seeking After an Intimate Partner Relationship Breakup. Short answer? Yeah. Long answer, men historically haven't the same emotional intelligence or grip brought communicating in the same way to offer each other support or to talk about our emotions or feelings or things like that, for all the reasons that we know. But that you might used to have your happy hour buddies that you could hang out with and just talk about like football for 2 hours. And that's your support system. That's emotional regulation. That's how guys enjoy each other's friendships, busting each other's balls and things like that too. And you add that into the labor reports of men, the suicide rates of men, the depression of men, the lack of civic engagement from Rotary clubs to Elks clubs, and men are spiraling down very sort of quickly, and there hasn't been a lot of focus on it because most other people have it worse, and that's fine, but it's not a zero-sum game either, in that we can't focus on the mental health, men's mental health, in addition to all of the other societal issues that we have as well too. You have this just changing dynamic of what is a man? What is the purpose of a man? And losing that provider status. So yeah, it's becoming troublesome for guys out there trying to navigate their mental health in the world. And examples of it that are just small, and is that like when you play video games, call it like the shooter games, a war game, Call of Duty, you literally mow down 6,000 men, anonymous men in your mission, and it's fine, but it's sort of showing men that they're nameless and faceless and anonymous, and there's no support systems, and no one really cares about their well-being. And it's just, yeah. So our social muscles are atrophying. Men usually have a little bit of lower emotional intelligence and a lower dating IQ. And so then you add that to these 3 years of COVID, changing demographics, and it's challenging.
I look back at 10 years ago and... Yeah. Or even 20 years ago, and society was different. I mean, it really was different. We had things that we knew we had to change. I mean, there's been a fight against racism and discrimination, equality, so many things. But it almost seems like nowadays we are so busy fighting one another that nobody's getting ahead and nobody's making any impact, and everybody is just purely miserable.
They're putting more effort into fighting each other than, to use a tired expression, building bridges. I'm not really sure how to change that or if it's going to change anytime in the near future. But yeah, we're incredibly polarized. And this is the first time for us in the dating world that political leanings have come into it. Because usually you just don't talk about it, or it wasn't that big of a deal. But now, no. Like, no blue will sit down with a red, and no red will sit down for the blue for the reasons they have in their own heads. And now it has become even more challenging, because if you have right-leaning people in New York City, there's not a lot of other right-leaning people
to date. And if you're a left-leaning person in Mississippi, well, good luck. So now you're creating physical places where dating is different, as opposed to like cultural views. So it is so complex. I mean, I could talk about this for days and days and days and days and days. There's just so much fascinating things going out there. And it's, I mean, even before COVID, nobody was saying, the state of dating is great. I'm really happy with it. So, but I do think that it has at least brought us to the understandings of what each of us treasure or want individually, the way that we would like our lives to play out a little bit more, and what it is that we value. And I think that people have a little bit clearer idea of that. They may not have an idea of how to achieve it, but I think that we went through some mental gymnastics to figure out what we want out of life. And I think that people are a little bit more focused on that for what it's worth now. So I'll consider that a plus.
It's a different society completely. It's almost like the population is generally unhappy. They're unhappy with their jobs. They're unhappy with their working conditions. They feel like that dream that their parents had.
Totally.
The white picket fence and the house in Siberia. It's no longer attainable anymore.
No, and while I think it's horrible, it's understandable. You have people whose entire livelihoods have been taken away. They've been told that they don't matter. There's no sort of retraining or new, for us in the U.S., the agricultural center, there's no new jobs taking over for industrial agricultural. You have, even here in the city, like, you have people that are, just read a post earlier. I was like, 20 years ago, I lived in New York City working as a waiter in a corner apartment, paid $750 for it. Now I am 42 years old and I am a lawyer and I can't afford the same apartment. So, and then you got the people, and this is again, the men, a lot of men are looking and saying, there's no way for me to win. I can't, your housing market in Canada, for instance, can't buy a house. I can't afford to support another person and get married. I can't afford to have a kid. And even if I work hard for the rest of my life, I'm going to get those things. So why should I even work? So deaths of despair amongst men are skyrocketing.
Yeah.
It almost seems as if we're trying to blame somebody for the current situation that we're in, and we're picking the wrong people to blame.
It's the sort of thing, like within a relationship, it's not you versus me, it's us versus the world.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like basically, I think all of this, all of the side effects, everything come down to men not feeling a sense of purpose. If you feel you're working towards something, you feel you matter, you feel productive, and I think there's a physically, psychologically hardcore driven thing in men to do something, do things. And actually, like physically, like I'm a carpenter, I built all of these things back here, and fills me with pride when I look at them, because I can do things. And especially if your job is a short seller in a hedge fund, what do? Like, you push a couple of buttons and grip some company. How do you feel about that? Don't be refined, that's fine. But there's no, and because they can't afford anything, they have no sense of purpose, that's where all the other systemic things are coming from. The crime rates, the deaths of despair, the drug problems, like all these stem from the core of the, we're not getting paid enough and we have no purpose. One of the things I teach my men is to learn and project competence, leadership, image, and power. And we go through what each of those means, how to define it, how to present it in good ways. The simplest definition of power is the ability to influence one's environment. That's it. Whatever your environment is or how much you want to influence it, that depends. But for instance, I have the power to adapt to my situations by physically creating things that I want and I like. And when I look at those things, it shows me that I can alter my environment, which makes me feel powerful and happy and competent. And it's reminders of my skills or my ability levels. Most of the things we do these days are not with our hands. And so I think there's a lot of sense of ownership that gets taken away. And you can't look at something and say, I did that, and feel pride in it. Men need to take it upon themselves.
to figure out what is going to make them happy and give them a sense of purpose. And that is a large order for anybody, let alone many of these men that are struggling don't have the tool sets or knowledge of what to do to fix these things as well too. So, you know, just education would be the first, just slowly. I mean, obviously the thing that would fix the most is if people were paid more, but I don't have the ability to do anything about that. I teach all of my men that we need to give each other affirmations and validations and make each other feel good so that we don't have to rely on the women in our lives to fill those emotional needs and give them all of that emotional baggage on caring for two personalities. And this is something that men need to work on within each other. Ask a man, next time you talk to a man, ask him the last time a man complimented him. Well, ask him last time anyone complimented him, and then ask him last time a man complimented him. And you might hear never and never. There's that old phrase, first time a man gets flowers is at his funeral. So there is a lot of things that we can do as men, as women, and as a society to help us move forward, because happy men create happy relationships, which give us happy marriages and happy women. It helps everyone. And again, it's taking the focus off of any one group to put on another group. It's just saying this particular group is going through this particular thing right now.
I'm a very strong supporter of women in every industry, but is that at the detriment of teaching my son how to be a man and where he fits in the world?
Yep. And so teaching them, do you open a door for the woman, or can the woman open the door for herself in a microcosm?
Yeah, it's very confusing.
In the 70s, post-feminism, there was a bit of a backlash of men because we as men didn't know how to react to these new bra-burning, protesting women, and so they kind of just hold back a bit. Right now, I see a lot of that happening with the Me Too movement, which is necessary, needs to happen, but because there's so much nuance in it, men don't get nuance. And so they become scared, if I go up and talk to a woman, that I'm going to get accused of sexual harassment. So I'm just going to remove myself completely from the situation. And here, you talked about something that I would like to bring up too, about women being equal. All of us, but women want to be equal when they want to be equal, and not equal when they want to not be equal. For instance, 30 years ago, a man, when he was looking for a wife, did not say, I need to be able to talk business with my wife, and I need her to be able to do carpentry as well. Because that would just be silly. You go to your Rotary to talk business, and you go to your woodworking club to do that. But now we have a new group of educated women saying, I want an equal. I understand it. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. We have women crushing the heteronormative behavior of the glass ceiling. They're crushing that. They're becoming CEOs. But again, oversimplified, overgeneralizing, I cannot get women to let go of the heteronormative behavior of dating up. Because there's no more, one, there's no more up. Two, they're assholes and type A narcissists. Three, married. Four, they're gay. There you go. Oh, there's nobody above you anymore. So trying to convince someone to look for a complementary partner as opposed to an equal is hard. It's hard because the woman feels that she's lessening herself by taking someone that is quote unquote not her equal. Well, again, 40 years ago, men were not looking for their equals. They were looking for a complementary partner that could fill in the family. And so that is one of my hardest struggles with women, is figuring out wants and needs and what their values are, and figuring out how to re-explain it in a way that might make them more open to the ideas. I have a lot of powerful, I don't particularly care for this phrase, but boss babes here in New York that I have to sit and talk with them about how they want their future to go. Meaning, they'll say, I need and want this in a man. And I say, okay, there's three. There's three men that fit that want you also. So you can make a choice. Keep all of this rigid and really, 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 really work for those three, and your win percentage is extremely low, or open your net a little bit more and have more opportunity to find something and someone to love and care. And look, if you are a PhD researcher, I get it. You might need someone that you need to talk about your work with. Like, I'm not faulting you for wanting someone, but I think there are a lot of other things that men can bring to the table that don't necessarily mean that. But again, like, even when I tell women, be more feminine, what they hear is dim your star, which is absolutely not what I mean. But it's trying to get into that mentality. Also, again, because most women have learned to keep men at arm's length since they went through puberty. But still, when they see someone they like, they may take their hands away, give the man the ability to come forward. But now they're 35, 45, whatever. They never actually learned the skills of going out and getting something that they want and drawing it in. And it is a skill set. And if you, and there's no fault to them, of course, if you're a beautiful woman, you have to keep men's at arm's length. So you have a certain set of skills, and then you're not in a certain pool, dating pool any longer, and you don't have the skill set to figure out what to do about it. Again, through no faults, they're just, this is the way the different demographics are working.
Well, I think it's interesting too, because years ago, when you met somebody, it was because they hung out with people that you knew or were part of the same group, and there was that sort of spark, and you would see them at social functions, and there was something that was natural that attracted you. It wasn't a matter of, I want to see your resume before we go out on a date. It was like, I've seen you around 20 times now. We've had a good laugh. Let's go out for a date.
Yep.
So it was more about personality pairing at than it is.
I will say the one thing that the online has done is it has greatly increased interracial marriage and children, which is great, because it's just two groups that just, to your point, you would only marry someone that lived in a 20-mile radius of you, because that's all what your options were. And that's all you traveled in. Now, at least there are more options. Again, then we can get into the paralysis of choice. But there just could be a couple of groups that just never crossed each other's paths. But with the online, now that they can, like, for instance, I'm married to a Latina. So technically, we met on MySpace. So technically, we are an online interracial marriage. But yeah, I think that it is a good tool to use, but I tried to explain to some of them, again, men, they just want to fix whatever's wrong and get out there and find someone to love. Women, sometimes it's getting the right headspace, the right attitude going forward. And I say, like, okay, like, when you're online, you always click the college education, right? Of course. But if you were out at a bar with your friends and this dude with a barrel chest had to slip by and he's like, excuse me, and just like physically picked you up and like put you down, and he had hands the size of catcher's mitts, and you just felt a thrill run up your spine when he touched you, and then you found out he's a cabinet maker, you're like, fuck it, I need cab, because you were there, you smelled him, you felt him, you touched him, you heard him, and that created chemistry. You're okay as long as they understands passion, da-da-da-da. Yeah, I mean, like, he's not broke and a loser, then he is bringing many things to the table, but you would not have come across him if you yourself had been making those lists. And so, especially as everything has gone so virtual over the last 3 years too, we need to take time to meet strangers. And that's hard, because it's hard because people feel that they're going to lose face, or they're going to be embarrassed, or that people are going to think they're losers, or that they just don't want to be out by themselves and just standing in a corner and going like this. But the only way to move forward and grow your group of people that you know is to do that. Like, there is no shortcut for that. And as people kind of retreat into their holes and just kind of online date and the paralysis of choice, and there's someone around the corner the next time, and I'm sure that the next person will be just a little bit better and a little bit better, it creates a lot of issues for people. So, and this is just in one area. In other areas, they're facing different things. Like in New York City, there are five women to every three men. In the Silicon Valley and Seattle and Oregon, it's five women to every three guys. So buyer's market, seller's market, that is going to influence things. So yeah, it's fascinating to me. What's going on?
Well, it's interesting. None of us is perfect. And I think that's one thing that we have to remember, is that you can't expect the person that you're looking for a future with to be perfect, because there's no such thing. And you're not perfect yourself. So it's something that you grow together, and there's a reason that people come together and create a lifelong relationship, because they do learn together. They do learn from one another. And I do believe sometimes that part of our biggest issue today with divorces and people not staying together is that they're always looking at the grass on the other side of the fence, seeing mm-hmm. that it's greener.
And the reason you're looking across and it's greener over there is because you're not watering your own grass.
Throughout the pandemic, a lot of people kept saying, be kinder. And I just think we need to be kinder to each other. Just in general, full stop, be kind.
Yes. Yeah. But where's my study? Which one is the find, remind, and bind the functions of gratitude in an everyday society? I quote or cite this one in my article, but yeah, basically it showed like, if you are nice to people, they're nice to you, and that makes you feel good. So you make yourself feel good by being nice to other people. Got that all removed during COVID. Then minimal social interactions with strangers predicts greater well-being. You smile at someone else, they smile at you, makes you feel happy again. That was taken away from us. Yeah. So all of these little things that we didn't realize that we needed have been removed from us to help us feel good about ourselves, to help us see the good in society. Because like, if you go out and you watch a little old man get helped across the street by a young man, you go, the world's okay. Kids are all right.
Yeah.
But if you don't see that and you just doom scroll, you're going to have a negative outlook on everything. And it's hard the way that things are to try to look on the bright side of life, but you have to. There's sort of no other way around it. Like, I hate that phrase, like, you complete me. No. Be complete before. And then you get someone to ride shotgun on your life, and you two can, you know, have a great old time. There's a phrase I like your good friend will bail you out of jail at 3 a.m. Your best friend will be sitting next to you going, that was fucking awesome. it's the same thing with a relationship partner. People feel that they are giving up things. Sure. I mean, I'm giving up sunlight by working down in the basement, but I'm gaining much more space. So yes, you may be with one person, but now you've got someone that you can tell jokes to or funnily troll each other for the rest of your lives. And that's awesome. And or someone that gets you, or someone that you can have that conversation with that you can't have with someone else. There's so much that gets added into these things too, but kind of like that with the paralysis of choice, we're just not building that foundation yet. We're just, nope. I didn't feel an immediate connection. People are doing this online stuff since they're using the tiniest little things to disqualify each other. Oh, he likes The Notebook. I don't like dudes that like romantic comedies. Bing. Or something like that. Where, or they say, like, oh, he liked death metal or thrash metal. God, no. But if you had gone on 3 dates with a person that you had met in real life and felt that chemistry, and then they said, I like death metal and thrash metal, you'd go, okay, well, we're just never going to concerts together. But anyways, would you like some escargot?
Yeah.
No. So we're just too quick to throw out, like, yeah, we're looking for the perfect person. We're too quick to use these disqualifiers to throw someone off. And yeah, I think at least in the beginning parts of the pandemic, people put a lot more weight on relationships again, because it's like, you can't go out and find a new person. So deal with what you've got right now. And same thing in, I even have multiple friends from countries that do arranged marriages here in the U.S. that are like, couldn't be worse than what we got now. Because even if you just pick two random people and put them together, you figure out ways of working forward. Even if it's not love, it's a team. You figure out you're in it. So you make it work. And I know many relationships that developed love over that time because they respected each other and they were a team and they moved forward. And I, like I said, I have multiple people in the country right now saying, like, I wish we could have some sort of like mix between arranged marriage and dating, because dating sucks right now. And I just wish my parents could just pick me someone and be like, there you go, knock yourself out. So the fact that people are even looking back at arranged marriages again is showing you how challenging this is. Which is interesting, like in my industry now, matchmaking and dating coaching, a lot more people are coming to our industry exploded in the later part of the pandemic because people were sick of virtual. They wanted a human to help them. They wanted the real touch. They wanted to get away from the virtual, to get away from the online dating, to get away from the disposable swiping culture, which is important. And again, we're not sure how to reconnect again. And so, like, for instance, if you pre-COVID, like, say you liked knitting and you were in a knitting circle. I don't know. I'm completely gendering your dislikes, but you know, you enjoy it. And there's someone in that group that had a brother. I was like, man, I'd really like to introduce you to my brother. I think you're such a cool and interesting person. Cool. You've got a bunch of allies that are also helping you look out. But if you don't have that group, then you have no one helping you to look out. And I don't think people take a role called active dating. Like, if you wanted to lose weight, you would say to yourself, I'm going to restrict my calories. I'm going to choose better food. I'm going to work out. I'm going to download an app. You're making active, conscious choices to help you along this process. But when it comes to dating, what's the advice you hear most of all? Don't worry. It'll just happen. Now, if I wanted to learn German and you said to me, don't worry, it'll just happen.
It just happened.
How inane that sounds, but yeah, this is the same advice that we are giving people too. And so I think that if people take an active role in their dating, it can change vastly. Telling all your friends, setting yourself, I'm going to go to a new meetup once a week. I'm going to like on LinkedIn when they say open to work, kind of like open to relationships. Honestly, that bold, but let everyone know so that you have allies. But people, again, think, everyone's going to think I'm a loser. Everyone's going to think I can't find it on my own or things like that as well, too. But I wouldn't think that if I was going to lose weight, like I know that I need to lose weight. So I'm going to take the steps to get me where I want to be. So even like my messaging has changed over the years, too, because not that I said it this way when I first started doing it, but I would talk to my men and be like, you're broken and I can fix you. Because that's all they wanted. Just wanted to be fixed.
Yeah.
Now I love the fact that younger and younger kids are coming in. Because they see this is an area of their life that they don't have the skill set and they want to fix it as quick as possible so they become a fuller person. So like my messaging now is you're killing it at your job, you're staying fit and working it out. Why not get the same edge in your personal and dating life as well? And I'm happy that more people are looking at it as like, ooh, I'm gonna get better at this, not as I'm a loser and I need help. So there's not like that's not the way it is. And I think media influences men just as much as it influences women. And we have less resources and less ability to judge the nuances. So it's so confusing when you hear dad bod, fit bod, lumbersexual, metrosexual, sensitive man, alpha male. Like, just tell me what you want and I'll do it. Or I have generation of women that think that someday my prince will come doing no effort on my behalf. And I have the other side, I have a whole bunch of men who's running through an airport with roses or showing up on someone's doorsteps with placards to announce how much they love them is the way to win a woman. These huge grand gestures, because that's what happens in all the movies. So why wouldn't they think that works?
My generation was raised on every Disney movie where the prince or the princess at the end, or Cinderella, that kind of thing at the end. And I think that may be an issue. Women are waiting for that.
It is. Oh, it absolutely. They're waiting for their perfect 10 to come and sweep them off their feet. Not a 9.5, a 10, with no effort on their behalf, and they're 45, not realizing that they're in a different pool than they used to be. So, but then I'll talk to some women and say, no, it's the job of the man. Like, well, how's that working for you? Like,
because men are afraid nowadays. Is that
and, no, and yeah, man I get worth it. Assault has been rejected, if we want to use that word, hundreds, if not thousands of times in his life. And sometimes you're just not in the mood.
Yeah.
You had a bad day, you're out with your friends, whatever. See cute girl, like, I just don't want to feel like getting shot down right now. So I'm just going to not do it. So again, so what I teach some of my women is the ability, you can make the first move, you can be aggressive and give the space for man to show that they are interested and do work as well too. But sometimes if you don't do anything, nothing's going to happen. So if you want change to happen, you have to go out and create the change for yourself. be the change you want to see, as Mahatma Gandhi said.
Yeah. Well, and that's what you do. So if people are interested or are finding themselves in a, we used to call it a dry spell, what's called the name here? But if you're interested in finding a mage or figuring out a find a mate, people can get a hold of you, correct?
Absolutely. I've got people all over the world, honestly. I'm sort of like the coach on, since there's really only one of me anywhere, I get to be the coach on record for most of the top matchmaking firms in, around the world. So when their clients come in, I'll just give them, you know, call it a refresher course. Like, I know you're awesome. Let's just make you a little more awesomer. Again, the messaging, not you're broken and you need coaching. Just let me help you succeed as much as possible. So I love helping people. My own tagline is changing the world one smile at a time, because I think that we all deserve love. I think we all want love. It doesn't have to be a sexual love for people that are asexual, but like, I do think that humans were physiologically built for companionship and people around them in all sorts of relationships. Like there's, don't even remember, maybe in the 1700s, they talked about all the different types of love, love for country, love for king, love for family, love for relationship. There's a lot of different love for nature. There are a lot of different ways to love and be loved. And I think that we are, especially men, have a very small percentage of them that are feeling love or respected. Because like, for instance, here's all my books up here, Love and Respect. For instance, they teach about unconditional love, but they don't really teach about unconditional respect. And they did a study with men and asked them, would you rather be loved by everyone and respected by no one, or respected by everyone and loved by no one? 76% of men said, I would rather be respected by everyone and loved by no one, which goes to show you how much respect figures in to a relationship. And I feel like if a man doesn't have a job or position that is equal to a woman, he himself may feel like he doesn't have the respect to earn her, or she consciously or unconsciously may look down at him and not give him the respect that he needs or wants. And it's, again, it's a cycle, because for many times for women to feel love, they need to be respected, and for men to, or vice versa. Like, if men want to feel respected, they've got to give the woman love, and for a woman to give love, it's got to give respect. It's got to go back and forth. And you, like, you see, the minute a man loss of respect is one of the four deadly horsemen of relationships. And you start getting disdain, stonewalling, things like that, relationships going a little bit, because you're trying to flirt at that point. And it's just trying to do my part to help everybody get a little bit happier, a little bit, little more smiles on their face, and find what they're looking for.
Well, I have to say, Hunt, it's been an interesting conversation, as per usual. I there's so many other questions that I have, but we can't fit it into one podcast, so we'll have to have you back.
I will, and I'll leave you with a quote back there. We are like islands in the sea, separate on the surface, but connected on the deep. And we all need to remember that.
Yeah. Everyone, this has been Hunt Etheridge, award-winning dating and relationship expert. We will provide all of his links below this interview when it airs. Please do feel free to reach out and see if he can help you if you're lonely or single or have any questions, because he seems
Absolutely.
To have the answers.
Let me help you put a smile on your face.
My name is Rhea Rao. I have been your host. We'll see you again next time.